child.
He had never ever let us down. Thank God. I'm in the gospel according to Mark chapter 3 tonight. I believe this is where we need to be, and have sought the Lord through the afternoon, praying about which direction to go into. It's where we was aimed at. Amen. This morning just kind of never made it there. But that's okay. I'm 11 Psalm 100 with all my heart. And don't miss Wednesday night. We'll be back into it. And we'll give you the last and final point, the last two verses of Psalm 100. And we'll, amen, preach some more about that. But this evening, let's look in Mark chapter number 3. And I know we've got some listening by way of radio, some watching the live stream. And most of y'all, I guess everybody nearly, here this evening understands we've been preaching through the gospel according to Mark and have been enjoying this study. And I think this is message 18 or 19. Ain't that amazing? I don't know how many we're going to have. Mark's got, was it 14 chapters, 15 chapters maybe? And so we got a ways to go. Amen. So no telling how many. Amen. How many 16 chapters, how many messages the Lord's going to give us? And here's what John the Beloved said. He said, if we could put all that Jesus did and write it down and begin to write it in books. Now, some say, well, this was an exaggeration. I don't believe it was an exaggeration, because I think John was looking beyond the physical things. John knew there was a lot of spiritual things and eternal things. John said, if you could write about all those things the Lord did, just start on page number one. He said, the world would not be able to contain all the volumes of the things that could be said about what Jesus done. And we're studying these 16 chapters, and it's more than my soul can stand sometimes. Amen. Thinking about the life of our darling Savior, my dearest friend, to be able to pick up, amen, the Word of God, and to read about Him is a blessing to our heart. The message tonight will be a little bit unusual. As we've been studying His life, we've been preaching some messages that have been exhortive. By that, we mean we look at what He did 2,000 years ago in His life. And we look at what He did for others, and we draw from that He'll do some of those things for us. All the way these 2,000 years later, those are exhortive type messages. And then some have been of a historical significance, looking at the life and times of Christ and drawing application to our own life and the culture that we live in. And some of the messages we preach will be along the line of tonight, that is, looking at the life of Jesus and then drawing from His life an example and a pattern for you and I and the things that we face, how that we could walk in His steps and identify with Him. I was talking to my boy John this afternoon. I asked him the question, what is the ultimate goal for which we have been saved? What is the purpose of the Christian life? And he gave a wonderful answer, and then I gave him my answer. And I believe the ultimate goal, the ultimate goal of the life of the child of God is to be conformed into the image of the life of Jesus Christ. Amen. Years ago, I'm just settling in. My message ain't that long. I don't want to, amen, go off the radio with dead air. Amen. So I got a minute. Brother Mike, years ago, there was a movement come out, and it was a movement represented by four letters, WWJD. How many of y'all remember the WWJD movement? What would Jesus do? And the premise of that movement, I think, was spot on. I think it was wonderful. I think, amen, more of us need to consider what would Jesus do, and answer that from the Word of God, not what we think about what Jesus would do. Amen. I don't want to do what I think Jesus would do. I want to do what Jesus would do. And a lot of ways that movement has got off base even into this day and has made the grace of Christ a lascivious thing. But I do believe that we ought to have a desire for our life these 2,000 years later to fall in line with the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are things that He faced that we're going to face. There are things He encountered we're going to encounter. And if we are in line with Him and conform to His image, then we'll handle those things and do in those times and learn the lessons from His life that we might apply those things to our own. And so I want you to stand with me for just a moment. I'm reading two verses from Mark, chapter number 3. Mark chapter number 3, let's read verse 20 and 21. The Bible said, "And the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. When his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself." We want to take our phrase, that phrase, verse number 21, where his own friends are saying about the darling Son of God, he is beside himself. You can be seated tonight. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we do humbly bow and pray. Thankful, Lord, for the privilege to enter in the house of the Lord. Thank you for bringing us this way. Thank you for what you did this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the sweet fellowship and unity we have in the house of God, Lord, this Lord's Day. And Lord, we don't take that lightly. Lord, we understand that that can only come by the Holy Ghost. And so we bless you for that. Thank you for letting us feel it again tonight. Now, Lord, as we study the Word of God, these few truths, simple truths, Lord, I pray that it would stir our heart to live, Lord, the life of Christ through our very own. Lord, we think about in the days of the book of Acts when, Lord, the early Christians, Lord, our early forefathers of our own faith, it has been passed down. Lord, they were called Christians in that. Lord, they were so patterned after the life of Christ that, Lord, the world around them seen Christ in them and, Lord, called them Christians. And I pray tonight that, Lord, in our church, you would raise us and teach us and Lord, work in our life, change us, that, Lord, the world would see Christ in us. Lord, I pray this message even tonight would be a stir and a challenge and a part of how you do that. And we'll bless you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. In studying the life of Christ, verse by verse, through the Gospel of Mark, we come now to these two verses where verse number 20 begins, "And the multitude cometh together again." We understand that in these verses, Christ's ministry continues to grow. In this text and in this chapter, we see him preaching more, serving more, and impacting more than ever before. This is not the first time he's been confronted by the multitudes. This is not the first time they have sought him out and found him and gathered around him that he might minister to them the word of God or some work of God that would prove indeed that he was the one sent from God to save them from their sin. And so the Lord's ministry is growing, and no doubt this is the way the Father had it planned. And no doubt in my mind that the passion with which he was living stood out to those that observed him from far or from near. It wouldn't take much observation to understand the Lord is passionate about what he's been sent to do. He's passionate about preaching. He's passionate about the doctrine that he is giving. He's passionate about the miracles that he's doing for people. He's passionate about people. He's passionate about solving their problems. He's passionate about making a difference in his generation. And the Lord lived his life, no doubt in my mind, with great passion. And I think that passion in somebody's life is something to be admired. I love watching people be passionate about what they do. Doesn't matter to me what it is. It doesn't matter if I don't even have an interest in what it is they're passionate about. Amen. One thing that stands out in the lives of human beings is passion. Amen. You can tell what they're passionate about. Amen. They'll talk about it. And when they talk about it, there's a gleam gets in their eye. an excitement that arises from their spirits, you can see their passion. Amen. It may be a passion for cooking. It may be a passion for, amen, some sort of collectibles. It may be a passion for, amen, the job that they work from day to day in their life. But that passion ought to be admired. I want to say tonight, our Savior was passionate, amen, about doing what God had called him and sent him into this world to do. And his passion began to be so great that there was a crowd in the culture in which he lived that did not admire his passion, but rather belittled the passion by which he lived his life by. You say, well, where do you see that, preacher? The Bible said, and when his friends heard of it, amen, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. And so we find here that, amen, and in fact, these are called his friends. This ain't even what his foes were saying about it. Amen. And though his foes would say the same thing. And Brother Larry, they looked at the passion by which he lived his life. A passion that he had for the Heavenly Father. The passion that he had, amen, in every spiritual aspect of his life. And they said, this is a man that is beside himself. In John chapter number 10 and in verse number 20, I'll read that to you briefly tonight. John chapter number 10 and verse number 20, but look in verse number 19. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And so there is this attitude, as men and women and families and Jews said, and no doubt Gentiles alike observed the life of Christ. Amen. Some of them concluded, this is a man, amen, that is too passionate about who he is and what he's doing. And they accused him of being beside himself. This phrase and accusation they make against him of being beside himself literally means insane or to be out of one's mind. Amen. Again, John 10:20, they made the accusation, amen, that he was of the devil, that he had a devil and that he was mad. And thus the insinuation was he was a crazy man. And this is a man that is insane. This is a man that is estranged from the norm. This is a man that does not live his life by the ways that everybody around him lives their life. He is beside himself. And you imagine laying that accusation to the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, that he is beside himself. And usually people that make that sort of an accusation are passionless people, amen, who do not know what it is to be passionate about anything, much less the, amen, the ways in which we have been saved to serve God. Amen. He is beside himself. He's insane. He has lost his mind. One author that I was reading after this week in preparation for this message has wrote that by this very accusation, they were literally saying that Christ was both delusional and deranged. Amen. They were saying he's a crazy man. He's a maniac. He's lost his mind. He's gone way too far. He's gone overboard. He's gone further than a man ought to go with this thing of serving the God of glory. Amen. He is beside himself. Amen. Delusional or deranged, they thought the Son of God to be. Ain't it amazing that these his own friends, amen, had this perception of the Son of God? Again, this is not the devil. This is not the demons and the unclean spirits. that we preached on in the earlier part of the text in the chapter that Christ is encountered along life's way. These are His very friends. Amen. Those that have observed Him to the closest degree. Likely those that my friend are of His own country and His own kindred. Those that my friend maybe even watched Him grow up. And those that my friend knew Christ in the most close way, they concluded in Mark chapter number 3 at this point of the Lord's life that this man has gone insane. Amen. Oh, they thought that. Amen. I think there is the insinuation in the statement he is beside himself. They are accusing him of being too fanatical. Amen. Way too fanatical. You see, we use this phrase beside himself. We'll say about somebody, amen, in a ball stadium or on a ball court, he is beside himself. Amen. And usually it's, amen, somebody in Neyland Stadium, their face is painted orange. They got their checkered polka dot overalls on and they're jumping up and down. And they got crazy hair and crazy eyes, and they've lost their mind cheering for their team. Amen. We say of that individual, that is somebody who is fanatical. Amen. About the Tennessee Volunteers. Amen. We've all seen the Georgia Bulldog fans with their spikes on their shoulders. Amen. They put on a bulldog mask and act like a bunch of rabid dogs. Amen. And I'm talking about lose their ever-loving minds. You know why? Amen. They're fanatical. We say they're beside themselves. Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with cheering for your team, but you, amen, you've gone overboard with it. Amen. That's what they're accusing Christ about. Amen. And everybody knows Florida Gator fans, they're the most sane and level-headed individuals. Amen. In all the world, somebody say amen. Amen. We never take it too far. Amen. But, amen, that's what they're accusing Christ and do it. Amen. He is beside himself. And I tell you tonight, his own friends thought that Jesus was too fanatical about religion. They thought he was too fanatical about the truth. They thought he was too fanatical about serving God. Amen. Can you imagine having that perception of the Lord Jesus Christ? That you watch the passion by which, amen, he serves God, the passion that he had in chapter number 1 in preaching this doctrine. Amen. Then he stood and read the scriptures and expounded it to them. Amen. He was so passionate. But Jack, do you remember what they said? They said, we've never heard it on this fashion. We've never heard somebody preach with such authority and be that passionate about truth. And now here come his friends and they say, he is beside himself. They've lost the wonderment of a man that is passionate about the Lord. And now they think that he's gone too far. Amen. Now he's just too dogmatic. And now, amen, he needs to lighten up and take a step back. Amen. Can you imagine saying that about the Son of God? Amen. And so I want to preach for a moment tonight. Amen. On this thought, using the Lord as our example. Amen. On this thought, when your friends think you're a fanatic. When your friends think you're a fanatic. Amen. They thought this in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. His own friends thought this about it. And may I say this evening that what these so-called friends said about Christ, it is not limited to him alone. Amen. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Here's what I mean tonight. And all those who are truly saved and serious about serving God, amen, will also be viewed by worldlings and pagans and carnal people, amen, as having been too fanatical. Amen. Amen. Can I say tonight, if you've never been accused of being too fanatical about your religion and about truth and about serving God, Amen. Then you are not living like Jesus lived. Amen. It's impossible, amen, to be saved and serious about serving God. Amen. That you don't stand out like a sore thumb. Amen. That people don't think that you're just too passionate. Amen. I've had folk that my friend have accused me of being a fanatic. Amen. And can a saint just mark me down? Amen. I love the Lord with all my heart. I love Him. I'm trying to love Him with all my soul and all my mind. Amen. I'm trying to serve Him like Jesus did. Amen. I'm trying to sell out and go all the way with Him. Amen. When I got saved, I didn't get saved halfway. And He saved me all the way, and I want to give Him all I've got. Amen. Every time I preach, it ain't got to be screaming and stomping and sweating, but amen, I want to give it all I've got. Amen. I want folk to look at my life and say, I know where He stands. I may not know the direction He's going or necessarily like the direction He's going. Amen. He may be going further than I'm willing to go. Amen. But at least I know where He's going. Amen. Has anybody ever accused you of being a fanatic for the Lord? You see, we got a generation of Christianity. Amen. They don't want to be labeled a fanatic. And they want to claim that they're saved and going to heaven. And that's between them and God. I understand that. Amen. But do you understand to be saved and to be living like the Lord lived? Amen. Here's what Jesus promised His disciples. Amen. He said, marvel not that the world hates you and that they speak all manner of evil against you. He said, they hated me for they hated you. And there's coming a time I'm going to be gone. And they're going to hate you, and their hatred for you is, amen, going to be because of the Christ that they see in you. This world thinks we're fanatics. They think going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night is too fanatical. Mark me down. Amen. They think, my friend, standing on truth and saying there's no such thing as my truth and your truth. Amen. We just believe in, as we preach this morning, let God be true. And every man a liar. We just stand on God's word and God's truth. And my friend, there are people that are of a worldly and a fleshly nature that they don't understand that. They can't grasp that. Amen. And here's what they're going to say. Amen. If you just lighten up a little bit and quit being too fanatical, we could get along with you. Amen. Can I remind us something tonight? God did not save us, amen, and call us into His service to get along with the world. I feel some preaching coming on. Amen. Y'all can shout or pound tonight, get in it or not get in it. I feel like I'm going to preach. Amen. There is a culture of religion today, amen, that is teaching that this Bible says, amen, that we're not to have any enemies. We have been promised we're going to have enemies. Amen. There's no way around it. Amen. Unless you're going to be a kumbaya, casual, amen, child of God who don't take the things of God serious. And my friend, I'm telling you that, amen, if we're going to live the life we've been saved to live, namely to live like Jesus, guess what? You're going to have some people say, you're just a fanatic. I'm glad when the Lord truly birthed me into His family, I got over what that crowd thinks, and I'm getting way ahead of myself. Amen, amen, amen. And so this is not limited, amen, to Christ alone. We feel this. Amen, we feel this. Let me read you something. Albert Barnes, I'm not telling you I'm a proponent of everything that he wrote or believed, but, amen, I found it interesting in reading what he had to say about this particular verse. He said the charge of derangement on account, and this is kind of lengthy, so you just hear me out. The charge of derangement on account of the attention of religion has not been confined to our Savior. He said, let a man be made deeply sensible of his sins and spend much of his time in prayer and have no relish for the ordinary amusements or business of life. Or let a Christian be much impressed with his obligation to devote himself to God and act as if he believed there was an eternity and warn his neighbors of their danger. And let a minister show uncommon zeal and waste his strength in service of his master. And the world, Barnes said, is not slow to call it derangement. And none will be more ready to originate or believe the charge than an ungodly and infidel parent or brother, a self-righteous Pharisee or professor in the church. At the same time, men may endanger themselves in the bosom of the deep or in the bowels of the earth for wealth, or may plunge into the vortex of fashion and folly and vice and break in upon the hours of repose and neglect their duties, their families, and the demands of business. And in the view of the world, it is wisdom and proof of a sane mind. Such is the consistency of boasted reason. Such the wisdom and prudence of worldly men. You know what Albert Barnes is saying? You let a man give himself to the appetites of this world and spend all his wealth and all his money and all his time and all of his attention, and let him get passionate about something that is of no eternal value, all of a sudden the world will stand and they will applaud that man and they'll call him wise, amen, and they'll prop him up as a model citizen, an example to follow, amen. But you let my friend, some child of God, amen, get serious about living a holy life, amen, get serious about falling in line with truth and the Word of God, and sell out lock, stock, and barrel, and say, I don't care who's going with me, I'm going all the way with God. Amen. You let that kind of individual, amen, come in on the scene, and all of a sudden, amen, we're the fanatics. We're the ones who are beside ourselves. We're the ones that, my friend, have lost our mind. Amen. Oh no, friend, the eternal things are the things that really matter. If we're going to be fanatical about anything, it ought to be the spiritual. Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with enjoying life. And I intend on doing it. But when people see my life, amen, they ought to be able to see a passion that I have and you have, amen, for true religion, for truth, and for serving God. You ever been accused of serving God too much? Oh, I'm a preaching a generation. Amen. I'm not talking about y'all, but I'm preaching in a generation that's very little said about us. Amen. We show up when we want to and when we feel like it. Amen. Oh, come on now. Amen. We're as committed as we want to be. Amen. And I'm telling you, there ought to be a fanaticism about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. After all, is He not the one that saved us? Is He not the one, amen, that ultimately changed our life? Is He not the one that we owe all our eternal state and being and dwelling in heaven in His presence forever? Do we not owe that to Him? Amen. To not live a casual life. Amen. To not be so carnally minded that we're of no spiritual value, though. Amen. That we would follow the footsteps of our Savior. Amen. That the world and even the friends around us would say, you're just going too far. Amen. Amen. I know what I'm preaching. I know good and well some of y'all don't like it. But it's right. It is right. It is right. Amen. It was right in the days when Paul was running up and down, amen, the countryside, getting on ships and boats, and, amen, giving his life for the cause of Christ. I understand we're not all called to that. I understand we don't all live that way. I understand tonight that's not the call of God and the will of God, amen, upon our life. But can I say, amen, Paul had that testimony, Acts 26, Paul said, amen, man on trial, and he said, "Oh, King Agrippa, I think myself happy to answer for these charges against me this day." And you know what Paul did? Amen. Mary, Paul took Agrippa, and he took Festus, and he took the king's court and council, and he walked them down a road and a journey. Amen. When he is lost in sin, the lad shone round about it, and my friend Jesus rescued his life. Amen. He told about my friend the change that Jesus made. He told about the call of God upon his life. Amen. To preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. And he got so worked up in that testimony, and Festus interrupted him, and here's what he said. He said, "Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad." The same thing they accused Jesus of. Amen. Festus accused Paul of. Amen. And I love Paul's retort, his response. Amen. Was, "I'm not as mad as you think I am." Amen. I ain't the one crazy around here. Amen. And being crazy is being washed in the blood. And being crazy is selling out all the way and going with Jesus and giving our life to Him. I'm not the one that's crazy, Festus. You are. And I say tonight, amen, may I say tonight to anybody that would dare claim to be saved, amen, to be of the family of God, that would mock, amen, would mock being a fanatic for Jesus. Amen, you need to understand Jesus was called that, and Paul was said to be beside himself. Amen, if we'd ever get serious in these days and passionate about really serving the Lord, it's going to be said of us as well. They said that when D.L. Moody went to Chicago, and I know we don't line up with Moody about everything, but, amen, he had more God on him than probably anybody in this building does tonight. God used his life. You know why God used his life, Brother L? He was passionate about serving God. You know what they called Moody around? We all know D.L. Moody. How many of y'all know the name D.L. Moody? We look at him. We look at him. We talk about him. He's a hero of the faith. You know what they called D.L. Moody in Chicago where he served and pastored and preached? They called him Crazy Moody. Oh, Crazy Moody. Oh, Crazy Moody. You see, he was so passionate, and he didn't have to wear it on a t-shirt, and he didn't have to put it on his lapel. Amen. He didn't have to have a ball cap on and said, "I'm a fanatic for Jesus," and showed in his life. Amen. Oh, that God tonight there'd be a revival of us truly living a life of passion for the Lord. This thing ain't just limited to the Savior. It ought to be in our life. They ought to look at the way we dress. They ought to look at the way we talk. Amen. They ought to see the places we go and don't go. Amen. And they ought to look at us and milk their pharisaical chin. Amen. And say they're beside themselves. They're just going too far. Amen. How in the world can you go too far for the one that brought you such a long way? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad to be identified as a fanatic for Him. Amen. That's right. Amen, amen. They'll say, "Well, you just gone too far. Old Crazy Ledbetter." Amen. I know what they say. Amen. The good day of my life is when I quit caring what they said. Amen. That's right. Boy, I can't bog down there. Why? What are the causes? Why? What would make the friends of Christ say he's beside himself? Amen. Let me give you four of them. This is introduction. I've got a big, long introduction and a five-minute sermon, all right? Amen. Watch this. Number one, amen, his friends thought and called him a fanatic. Amen. Y'all buckle your seatbelt. Because of the slanderous declarations of his foes. Did you catch what a verse said, Brother Mike? And when his friends heard of it. You know what that tells me? Somebody's been talking about him. Somebody's been talking about the Son of God. Amen. The foes of Christ, when his friends heard of it, reveals people were talking about him. Amen. They were telling things on him. There were foes. You say, how do you know it was foes? Look in verse number 22. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he had Beelzebub, by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. Amen. You see tonight. Amen. Because Christ was so passionate about the will of God, so passionate about real truth. Amen. So passionate about serving the God of glory. Amen. He upset the apple cart of the religious crowd that was in his day. They couldn't get on board with him. My friend did things contrary to the way that they thought things would be. Amen. And you know what they done? You know what they done out of spite? You know what they done, my friend, out of hatred? You know what they done because, amen, they couldn't find anything really on it. They began to make up slanderous things about him. Amen. And you say, what are you saying, preacher? Amen. Well, I'm saying two things tonight. Amen. Number one, amen, if you're going to be a fanatic in the will of God and you're going to be passionate, amen, about serving the Lord, mark it down, you're going to make some enemies along the way. Somebody say, I ain't got no enemies, and you are not living for God. I get along with everybody, then you are not living the life of a child of God. We have been promised the enemies of the cross. Amen. We'll try to stand against us. Amen. We have been told, Jesus said, amen, Jesus said, I did not come to bring peace. I have come to bring a sword. I have not come to bring them together. I have come to divide. Jesus got so dogmatic about this matter that children of God, amen, are going to have enemies. He said, they of their own house are going to be their enemies. He said, I'm going to divide the father from his son. I'm going to divide the mother from her daughter. I'm going to divide brothers. I'm going to divide sisters. Amen. You know what Jesus was saying? He said, if you're going to be saved and be my disciple, amen, that is a life of radical, passionate change that even your lost family is not going to be able to stand, and they will make themselves your enemy. I know what I'm preaching. I know what I'm preaching, amen, contrary to the culture of religion of our day. Let's all sit around the fire, sing kumbaya, don't say nothing, make nobody mad now. Amen. I'll be honest, I've just got in a, I've gotten away. I don't know what's happened to me lately. Amen. We had, and I'm not no big bad bully preacher. I think y'all understand that. We had a woman come in the church after church Wednesday night. Amen. It's her fourth or fifth time that I can remember she's come by wanting a handout. Amen. Said, well, we got to give them a handout. Amen. Hey, enough's enough. Amen. I looked at her. I said, bless God. Amen. The story you're telling me now is the same story you told me the last time you came in here. Amen. And I was being real good and nice. Amen. Till she started talking about hypocrites in the church. See, I'm going to tell you something, woman. When I say I'm going to tell you something, woman, I'm about to tell a woman something. So I'm going to tell you something, woman. I won't say they ain't hypocrites in the church. But you know who's the biggest hypocrite in town? The crowd won't darken the doors of the church. Amen. And then when their back's up against the wall and they need gas in their gas tank and they need food in their belly, all of a sudden they come running and want God's money and want to take advantage of God's people. So you shouldn't say things like that. Hey, Jesus said, I didn't come to make y'all get along with everybody. Amen. There's some things I feel like preaching. Amen. There's some things you just got to understand. Amen. There are going to be enemies made if you become a fanatic for Jesus. And that's okay. You know me, I'm not talking about being hateful. I'm not talking about being mean-spirited. I'm just talking about, can we get passionate enough about truth that we'll tell people around us, amen, we claim we love what the truth is. Well, I don't want to upset my children. Amen. I don't want to upset mine. I want mine to get along with me. I want mine to love me, but right's right. Now listen to anything they got to say and we'll reason some things out. Amen. But I'm telling you, Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. You're going to have some foes come against you. Who's your enemies? Amen. Part of seriously serving the Lord is that enemies will be raised against us. And in doing so, they will convince others. We're too fanatical. Slanderous declarations of foes. Amen. I told somebody today, I've been accused of so much, I can't even keep up with all of it. Amen. Amen. One preacher said he'd been accused of everything except stealing black babies and painting them white. Amen. I've been accused of so much, it's ridiculous. You know when they do that, they're showing they're not your friend, they're your foe. Foes make up slanderous stories and slanderous declarations to divide others against your life. Amen. This church would be full tonight if it wasn't for people that tore out of here as enemies of the cross and enemies of this church and slandered this church and run it down and run your pastor down. There would be people still sitting in some of these pews, but friends got caught up and believed that your pastor in this church was too fanatical because of what others slandered us about.
Amen. That's right.
Amen, Pastor. That's wonderful preaching. Preach on, man of God. You are telling her right. Amen. It's always been that way. It goes back to the days of Jesus. It goes back to the days of Jesus. I ain't preaching nothing couldn't be preached in any other church. Amen. Around any other true man of God. Amen. In any other state or any other country. Amen. This has always been among true children of God. Amen. People think we're too fanatical because of the slanderous declaration of our foes. Number two. Can y'all handle another? Amen. Boy, I didn't know there's going to be this much gunpowder on this one. Amen. Number two, consider with me. Amen. They thought he was too fanatical because of the special depths of his fellowship. Amen. Do you remember in this chapter, and I've got to hurry, I'm hurrying now. Amen. I'm meddling, rattling cages. I got to move on. Amen. Do you remember in verse number 13 through verse number 19? And Christ goes up onto the mountain and begins to call the 12. Amen. He called whom he would. He ordained 12. And they should be with him. Verse number 14. He's getting them ready. He's training them. He's going to send them out. And then Mark names each of these men. Amen. He calls them by name. And then he ends in verse number 19. And said they went into an house. Amen. They were called to be with him. And now, I guess my point is simply this. Amen. Christ at this point of his ministry, he is spending most of his time with those who have been saved and who are themselves serious about living for God. The friends in verse 21, I believe, and take them to be, amen, those from Nazareth, those from his own place, amen, that now have shown up. And maybe they're saying something like this, we don't ever see you anymore. Amen, all you do is hang around Peter, James, and John. And all you do is sit around and talk about the Word of God. Amen, with them bunch of Bible thumpers over there. Amen, you want to just run with sons of thunder. And if they have having a bread, amen, if they're having bread basket making day, you're up there with them. Amen, if they've got fellowship services going on, amen, you don't even come around the family reunions anymore. Amen, and maybe Jesus said, well, if y'all quit scheduling them on Sunday, I'd show up. Amen. All of a sudden, there is identified in Christ a special depth of fellowship that He is fellowshipping with others that are spiritually like-minded as He. How many of us have heard people call us fanatics because, amen, we were going to church too much. We was there Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and won't miss a night of revival meeting. And my friend, we're there when the doors are open. If they're having chitlin fry, we may not even like chitlin. We may not even eat the chitlins, but amen, we'll show up, sip on an RC Cola, amen, have some fellowship because that's our crowd. And I say tonight, amen, you go getting that serious about the Lord. Amen. Can I say them special depths and bonds of fellowship among the people of God are absolutely wonderful. Yes, sir. Amen. So I don't believe that. You're not living like Jesus. We'll see it later in Mark chapter number 3. His mother and his brothers come. And they come to where he is and they stand on the outside and they start calling for him. And Jesus just keeps doing what he's doing with his disciples. And finally somebody rushes in and interrupts the Lord. And Brother Larry, they say, Master, your mother and your brothers are out there and they're calling you. They want you to come outside and talk to them. You know what Jesus said? Who are my mother and who are my brothers? He said, that ain't my family. He ain't downplaying physical bonds of family and what's there. My brother and his children here tonight, I love them with all my heart. Amen. But and a lot of our fellowship is based upon the fact that we have a spiritual bond. Jesus said, I'll tell you who my mother and my brothers and my sisters are. It is they who do the will of my Father. This ain't too strong, is it? It is amazing the people who can be closer to their carnal, physical family than they can the spiritual household of faith. Jesus set the example. Amen. Jesus set the example. We're not walking the way they're walking. Again, this doesn't mean we're rude. It doesn't mean that we try to be hard to get along with. Amen. But it has been said, I have felt it, I have known it, that when it comes to the household of faith and the church family, I am closer in many ways, amen, to my church family and my spiritual family than I am even some of my own flesh and blood. Amen. And that's Bible. Amen. When you get to that point in your life, you know what people around you is going to start saying? You're just a fanatic. You don't have to go every time the doors are open. The Bible said you're supposed to. I thought we was Bible believers. Yeah, but if we do that, that'll make us a fanatic. That's the point. Because of the special depths of his fellowship. Boy, I told y'all I was going to be quick, and boy, it's turning that way, ain't it? Amen. Number 3, because of the spiritual devotion of his focus. The Bible said in verse 20, the multitude coming together. I love this word. John Mark seems to use this a lot, but Gerald, again. Again. They've come before and now they're coming again. And they've come again and again and again and again. You say, preacher, did the Lord ever get tired of that? I think what you have to understand is that Jesus had been sent to serve the multitudes. He had been sent for this very reason. There is a spiritual devotion in his focus of his life. Amen. It ain't about crowds. It ain't about how large it is. It's about opportunities to serve. It's about an opportunity to do the will of the Father. It's about an opportunity, amen, to be devoted to, listen now, something greater than selfish living. Really, that's what being spiritual is all about. That you're more devoted to something that is greater than ourselves.
That's right.
Amen. And so Jesus comes, amen, the multitudes come again, and Jesus receives them. Amen. Over the first several chapters of Mark thus far, it is evident that this is consuming his life. He had left his native town, broke off from the earth, his earthly business, is now giving himself to the fulfillment of the will of God. You know, to the world and worldly friends, that's fanatical.
Amen.
To be spiritually devoted to something greater than selfish living, they say, is just too far. And they'll draw lines and they'll say, if you go across that line, you're too fanatical. And they'll mock you and they'll ridicule you just like they did the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
Amen. Number four, I won't preach all that one out. Because of the sacrificial denials of his flesh, if you ain't put your seatbelt on, you may want to reach over and grab two of them. Notice what the Bible said, so that they could not so much as eat bread. Jesus was so passionate about serving and religion and truth and ministering to others that he denied himself the basic need of eating that he might fulfill the Father's plan for his life. We've got people that will not deny themselves anything. It's the will of God that we be so passionate about the Lord, we're willing to deny ourselves maybe even a basic need of living. We're living in a culture that if they want it, they get it. They see it and desire it, they're going to take it by any means that they can get it. And I'm watching it destroy young people's lives. I'm watching it destroy families. I'm watching it divide churches. You are an eyewitness in 2022 of it absolutely destroying a nation. It's time the children of God arise and be passionate and say, I will by the power of the Spirit of God deny my flesh what it wants. I'm not talking about maybe fasting would be a good way to do that. I'm not necessarily talking about not eating. It could be denying yourself some sensual desire you have in your life. Churches are run rampant with sexual sins and perversions. You know why? People are not fanatical about who they serve. They do not know how to say no. Amen. There are people who have all sorts of, now the modern day term would be addictions. Amen. You'd be amazed how many folks sitting in independent fundamental Baptist churches addicted to pills, addicted to liquor, addicted to all sorts of dope. Amen. Preach on, preacher. You know why that's such a problem in our day? We're not fanatical enough about Jesus to deny ourselves the things that this world offers. And boy, we're preaching tonight, ain't we? Amen. Y'all still love me, don't you?
Amen.
Amen. Well, that's five or six. I may have heard a six whisper in there. I still love y'all. When's the last time you told yourself no? Not doing that. No, I'm not listening to that. No, I'm not going there. Preacher, that's just too far. You got it. They said it of Jesus. He's just too beside himself. To a world that denies themselves nothing, such a life as Jesus lived seems to them too crazy. Do you think it's crazy? I don't think it's crazy. Amen. People have made such foolish statements as, oh, they're so heavenly minded, they're of no earthly good. I've never met one single person in all my life that was too heavenly minded that they were of no earthly good. But I have met droves and droves and droves who were too earthly minded, they were no heavenly good. And I put myself in the number. Somebody say amen. So what do we do about this? Preacher, I know what you're preaching about. My family thinks I'm a fanatic. My friends and my co-workers think I've just gone too far. May I say to these accusations, no. How Jesus dealt with what even his friends thought about him. Number one, he did not allow them to discourage him. I'm not saying that he wasn't aware of it. I'm not saying he didn't think about it. But you know, there wasn't one place in all the texts where Jesus started pouting, saying, my friends call me a fanatic. Feeling sorry for himself and discouraged, talking about how he wasn't going to do the Father's will. Come on now, we're living in such a soft day. Brother A.L., we don't have half to put up with what, we're not putting up with half of what some of our forefathers, even in America 50 years ago, put up with. And most of the stuff gets said about us, we ask for it anyway. Amen. But you let somebody call us a fanatic, man, we'll get down in the dumps and discouraged. Jesus did not allow what they thought about him to discourage him. So I can't handle it when somebody says something about me. Well, you ain't going to be much of a fanatic then. Hey, here in September, amen, in Neyland Stadium, they're going to be throwing golf balls and mustard bottles. Somebody say amen. Oh, y'all didn't like that, you UT fans, did you? Amen. They're fanatics, man. But you know what? They don't give a rip what a Florida fan thinks about them. So how you know that? How you know that? Because I pastor some of them. See, a fanatic don't care. You can point at them, laugh at them, their orange hair or their bulldog face or, amen, their shirt off with some goofy letter painted all over it and them acting a fool. You can point your finger at them and laugh at them and say, you have way too... They don't care what you think. They ain't going to stop. Why? Because of the passion they got. What's it take to discourage you? Boy, they said something about me. They did about Jesus. Amen. 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 He did not allow them to discourage him. Number two, he did not allow them to distract him. If you're not careful when people go calling you a fanatic and dealing with you like they think you're one, you'll start spinning your wheels, straightening them out and proving to them that you're not what they say you are. Amen. I've got to the place at, how old am I? 43? Is that right? 43. Amen. I've got the age at 43. I don't have time to spin my wheels trying to straighten out what everybody thinks about me. I don't care. You're too passionate. You've gone too far, preacher. I don't care what you think. I don't have time to sit down and debate it. I don't have time to try to convince you. You're not going to distract me from what God has called me to do. Amen. Amen. There's so many distracted in our day. People's gotten distracted because somebody thought that they were crazy or thought they would gone beyond what they should have gone. Amen. He did not allow them to disconnect him. I just simply mean by that, he didn't quit. He didn't quit anything that I mentioned to you out of the text tonight. He did not disconnect from any of that because somebody thought he had gone too far. You know what he did when the sun got up the next morning? He got up and did what he did the day before. You know what he's still doing a month later? He was still doing the Father's will. You know what he's doing all the way to the cross? Saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? Just tell me and I'll do it. He did not allow them to disconnect him from what he knew God had put him on the earth to do. Somewhere in our Christian life, we've got to make up our mind. It does not matter what people think about us in regard to our passion and selling out and going all the way for God. Amen. Ain't it amazing? A lot of carnal people in our day, they don't care what anybody thinks. They live carnal lives. I've heard them say, I don't care what you think. I don't care what no preacher thinks. I don't care what mom and dad think. I don't care what the... Amen. They don't care. Why should those that have sold out lock, stock, and barrel to serve the Lord, why should we care what they think? That's right. Amen. It's all them old King James Bible thumpers. Amen. King James Bible thumpers. I don't care what they call me. But Jack, I am a King James Bible thumper. Amen. Amen. I try not to be a nut job about it, but if you ask me, what is the Word of God? It's the King James Bible, exclamation point. It's all I use. It's all I preach from, and it's all I'm ever going to have. Amen. You're a fanatic. Okay, if you think so, but I'm still not going to lay it down and change. Amen. Amen. I didn't know this message was going to go this way. I thought it was going to be a rah-rah message. Serve the Lord, sell out, and it's done made up. Amen. They say, oh, that old-fashioned singing y'all do. That's just too fanatical. In these days, you need some drums and some strobe lights, and you need some dancers, and you need some praise teams. No, don't think I'm... Oh, you're just one of them fanatics. I guess I am. I guess I am, but I ain't going the way you going. I done sold out and God put me in this path. You do whatever you want to do. You're not going to disconnect me from what God has put in my heart to live and to do. Amen. What an example Jesus set. Hey, cheer up. Serving the Lord's good. Serving the Lord is a good thing. It's a glad thing. It's a wonderful thing. People may call us fanatics. We may feel out of touch with this world and the way it's going. Brother Mike, we're supposed to. Amen. If there's a point to all of this message, we are supposed to feel out of place in all of this. Amen.